like Episcopalian, Presbyterian, or what have you. So if a person believes the Bible, a lot of these great businessmen feel are so above and so aloof to all of that that they would not have too much respect left for a religious type individual anyway. But if you look at the lines that the voting took, you will see a tremendous amount of covetousness. And how in mid-1977, when you see those same people still out of a job, because they don't seem to realize the reason they're out of a job is not necessarily the government's fault. And when you see those same people having the same problems, I analyze it differently than most people do. I analyze it just exactly right down the line, and I guess some of old MacKinder and Haushofer and some of the other theorists do about the status quo. People just get tired of the status quo. And they want a change. It's just that simple. They want a change not only in the White House, but in the cabinet and in the foreign affairs of the nation. They're tired of Kissinger. They suspect that there's still some taint from Nixon. As you saw Conrad's political cartoon probably in the L.A. Times, it shows Richard Nixon. Conrad's never going to get through trying to kick Nixon around. And it's showing Richard Nixon sitting there, and he's saying now they won't have any of Nixon's appointees to kick around anymore. They're just never going to let the man alone. So people are lustful. They're covetous. 6% of the population has 50% of the wealth of the world, and we want more. We're not satisfied with what we've got. And people who don't have a job want a job. And people that have a wage want more money. And people that are at work want to work less. And they want guaranteed national health insurance programs and all the rest. But it does say that we would be lovers of our own selves during this age, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and that's becoming so common now that even in the kiddie hours, in Dinah Shore, or Johnny Carson, and some of the most famous of all of the television shows in the United States, there are jokes about homosexuality. There will be cursing and taking the name of God, just plainly and blatantly. Now, as this grinds away, and as iniquity does abound more and more, and as the pressures in television, in society, as the overthrow of government, crime, international conspiracies, despotism, the toppling of various institutions continues, then the pressure, even on the people of God, becomes greater and greater. What you see around you, what you see as you go to the entertainment places and the restaurants and on the billboards and in television and in the motion pictures, it just grinds away. And if you're not resisting it, if you're not aware of that constant grinding away against God's way and God's nature and God's character and God's law and the kingdom of God and the principles the kingdom of God is going to put on this earth, then you are going to become gradually calloused. You'll begin to wear calluses just like an ill-fitting pair of shoes will wear some kernels of corn on your toes. And you'll have a certain pain there. Well, you'll get corns on your conscience as you gradually allow that type of thing to grind away. They'll be disobedient to parents. I won't comment on that. It's so obvious. Unthankful. And man, is that ever fantastic. In the United States especially. Mr. McNair, I think, has written an article coming out now about Thanksgiving, as I recall, in the current Plain Truth, I think, wasn't it? And unholy. And that's certainly true. Without natural affection, but plenty of the unnatural kind. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. If anyone tries to be good, whether he's in a little kid in a grade school class, he is ridiculed by the other kids. If someone tries to turn in some money he found in the street, he's virtually run out of town. If someone tries to be good and the press or a television talk show gets a hold of him, they make him into a fool of some kind. Traitors, heady, that is self-willed, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now, can you imagine people with all these characteristics, with all those flaws of character, with all those sins that are just coming out of their ears, at the same time having a form of godliness? Society in general has many forms of godliness. And many people who have even left the Church of God, kind of don't have to obey God's law, don't have to keep the Sabbath, don't have to keep the holy days, don't have to tithe, have this so-called freedom in Christ. They have a form. Some have even gone into charismatic type of movements where they want to get all emotional about Christ, but they don't want to obey Christ. They want to adore Christ. And they want to cry about Christ and sing about Him, but they won't say, "Yes, Lord," and do what He said. Some people who have been in the Church of God for 20 years and more have forgotten some of the simplest scriptures that we've ever preached. Luke 6:46, "Why called ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. As Christ's indictment in Matthew 15 about those who measure up to Isaiah's prophecy and them has fulfilled the statement of Isaiah that their ears have grown dull and their heads turned fat and they're all lethargic, and they, instead of worshiping God, they worship Him with their mouths, but for doctrines, they've got the doctrines and commandments of men, not the doctrines of God. So he says, here is the problem, that they have form, but they deny the power. Now, what is the power? The power thereof is the obvious admission that there is a direct heaven-to-earth relationship where there is force, there is energy, there is life. There is a living relationship between a Christian and a living God with living laws that requires a day-to-day way of life. Without that, there's no power. Now let's just ask for a minute, what do you got left if you don't have the Sabbath? Well, that's kind of like saying, what do you got left as a physical human being if you don't eat food? If you're an athlete, what do you got left if you don't exercise? If you're on the team, what do you got left if you don't practice? How in the world can anyone rationalize that they are in the church, that they are in Christ, but they don't need the Sabbath, they don't need the holy days, they don't need to tithe, they don't need to obey God? Any more than an athlete would say, I'm a great athlete, while he's sitting on his hind end, eating all the wrong kind of food, and never exercising. In the first place, the person who has the Sabbath the identifying sign that identifies the fact that he is a Christian, that he wears the label of God and belongs to God. He doesn't have that anymore. He's not of God, not one of God's. And Christ will say, I don't care what you say about how many letters you wrote, how nice you were, how emotionally you put it, how you prayed and you said, oh yes, Jesus, I never knew who you were. You didn't wear my label. You didn't have the brand. You didn't have a stamp. You weren't mine. I never knew you. And he will say, depart in the outer darkness. Apparently, there will be some people who will be surprised. You can't read that analogy in the Bible without understanding that there are people who are going to argue with Christ, who in their own appraisal of themselves are going to honestly and sincerely think they deserve the kingdom, and are going to argue with Jesus that they deserve the kingdom. That's what that scripture is all about. They're going to say, my Lord, surely you remember. And Jesus is going to say, sorry, I told you. I know your name. Who are you? I never wore my sign.
This topic will be continued on the next edition in series of The World Tomorrow with Dr. Ted Armstrong. You're invited to learn more about these important issues through the pages of Good News magazine. In addition to his many speaking engagements, Garner Ted Armstrong also serves as editor of Good News magazine.